Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Great to be with all of you today, and I don't know many of you, but I pastored just down the road at First Baptist Kennedy for the past 10 years, and then at the beginning of last year, I transitioned to this new role as the Director of Missions for Gambrel Baptist Association. Of course, Gambrel partners with Gonzales Baptist Association, and together they form the South Central Baptist area, and my hope is that today, as you leave this place, you will know a little bit more about what we do together, because you're an important part of that. Whether you realize it or not, your church and your pastors are a key part of what we do as an association. And so if any of this strikes interest to you, you want some more information, when you walk out today on the left-hand side to me, you will find on a little table, I put out our cards, and there's small cards and big cards. They both have basically the same information. You can look up the information, or you can my cell phone number's on there, my email's on there, as well as our website, which has a ton of information. So you'll find all that there. But I want to just pause and pray for us this morning as we dive into God's Word together. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this chance to come to First Stockdale and to worship together. And what a powerful time of worship it has been. I just say a word of thanks to you for both Becky and Palmer as they are leading so well. Pray that you bless their ministries. And God, that you be present with us so we know that you are. Your word promises us that. And that you'd be speaking to us, working in us. Father, I thank you for this time that we have together. And pray that, God, we would give our attention totally to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it wasn't long ago, I was actually in Stockdale for a track meet. My daughter, Ava, who's in seventh grade, had, I think it was at that time, it may have been her first track meet of the year. And the coaches have been telling us that, you know, she's actually a really good shot, or a really good discus thrower. And she's out throwing the other girls in junior high and even some of those in high school. And, you know, so I was kind of excited. I didn't know how it was going to go, a little nervous. And she did really well. She got first place in the seventh grade division girls. And so I was really pumped, really excited for her. And she went on, did really well the entire season. So it was really exciting to see that. And it's a thrill for me because I was not good at the field stuff in track and field. I did track and field. I did the field part. I threw things. It did not go very far. I don't know. You don't have to know much about track and field to know in the field events. If you throw stuff, it needs to go far. And I couldn't get the stuff to go far. So I wasn't very good. So it's kind of cool to see her do well. But it reminded me, I think it may have been junior high or early high school days. We had our football coach, who I don't think he knew tons about track. He came onto the bus and said, "We need someone to run the mile. I just need a volunteer." And I don't know why I volunteered, but any of you, would you volunteer to run a mile? I don't know what I was thinking, because I was a lineman in football. I don't know if you can tell, but that's my DNA, right? And so I was not built for speed, okay, and or long distances, or doing that for a long period of time, okay? So all those are things that are, you know, kind of helpful to you when you run the mile. And I got out there and got in the field, and we ran, and I ran I completed it, which was like a miracle in itself. But y'all, I came in second to last. It was just me and another chubby kid, and we were trying to not be last place. And so I feel like it was a victory. It's kind of how I felt about it. And I really, track and field wasn't my thing, but I've come to learn that, you know, individual athletes in track, they do well. They get the accolades, they get the ribbons and the plaques, all that kind of stuff. But if the whole team does well, you can win the meet as a team. And that's a pretty cool thing. And it's kind of like the church, you know, like each individual church can do well, but not one individual church doing well is not going to help the collective church move forward if everybody's not pulling in the same direction. So I think of it like this, you know, when Christ with his disciples, he said, he gives them the Great Commission, right? He says, I'm going to be with you to the ends of the earth, and here are the things we're going to be doing. Under my power, I'm going to help you make disciples. And that's what the Great Commission is. You can find it in Matthew 28 at the end of that chapter. Jesus lays out, here's what I want the church to be about. I want you to be making disciples who know me and follow me. Baptize them in my name, right? And I'm going to be with you in the midst of all that. That's the job of the individual church. But an individual church, no matter how great it's doing, can't accomplish the Great Commission on its own. In God's wisdom, he said, we're going to have lots of churches laboring together individually, but collectively, we're heading towards the same goal. And so when your church is a part of an association, and that's what we're trying to do together as churches in the association. And we do that, we've been doing that for a very long time. Historically, Baptist churches in the United States have been gathering together in local associations to do kingdom work before the United States was the United States. In 1707, the Philadelphia Baptist Association was formed. 1707. So long before 1776, right? But not only nationwide, but right here in our home state, the Union Baptist Association, which is primarily centered in Houston, it was the first Baptist association in the state of Texas. And it was formed 5 years before Texas was granted statehood. So historically, for a long time, Baptist churches have been saying, if we can come together and form a kingdom partnership, we can make a kingdom impact. Outside of any one church, together, we can make a bigger impact than any one of us can alone. And that is how I think of the accomplishment of the Great Commission, God's will, God's timing, but he chooses to use churches coming together to do the work of evangelism and discipleship. And so when your church is a part of that, and you are, I'm going to talk to you today about how you are, when your church is a part of that, you are helping form that kingdom partnership, and together I believe we are making a kingdom impact. More than just historically, I think this is a true pursuit that we find in Scripture itself. And so I want to invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me set it up just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is written by a guy named Paul. And Paul is a believer. You may know of him. He had a radical conversion on his way to actually persecute Christians. Meets the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Radical conversion. And then Jesus puts him to work. And Paul becomes a church planter and a pastor to a lot of people, encouraging them along the way. And he would often write back to the churches. And so that's how we get a lot of the letters here in the New Testament, sometimes called epistles. And here in the second letter, which is really probably the third letter to the church in Corinth, the second one's lost to antiquity, but the second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul writes, and the occasion of his writing in part is to say, I know you want to give to the cause. You've said you are eager to do so. Now I want you to complete it. So the background of what's happening here is that there's a church in Jerusalem. Many, if you've read Acts, you know the story. The disciples have gathered there in Jerusalem for Passover. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, he meets them. And he gives them, you know, again, his encouragement, go, make these disciples. Acts 1:8 is kind of that same version of that. To the ends of the earth, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, go. And so he's sending them out. But they stay put for a little while there in Jerusalem, and then persecution comes, and then they begin to be spread. But what's happening at the church in Jerusalem is kind of center to what is taking place in the early church. And yet they're going through a very difficult time. They are going through not only famine, but persecution. And so their very livelihoods are at stake. And Paul knows this, and he knows how important this church is. And so he begins to form a kingdom partnership with other churches and says to them, let's help this church in need. And so they take up an offering, and that's what Paul is doing. He's writing ahead of taking up the offering, knowing that the church in Corinth have said they want to help. They haven't fulfilled it yet. And so in part, he's writing to remind them of that. And so that's kind of what we're going to be reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. starting in verse 1. So I invite you to stand with me if you can. If you can stand for the reading of God's word, I invite you to stand with me. And we'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier had made a beginning, to bring also to a completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eagerness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would clear our minds of all distractions, that we may be able to focus on you this morning. Pray that you'd soften our hearts to receive your word, and that you'd ready our hands and feet to go from this place and live it with the help of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So you see here, Paul is forming this kingdom partnership. You've got the church in Jerusalem in need. He's writing to the church in Corinth who has promised to help. And he is letting them know about the churches in Macedonia that though they had very little, they were eager to give and gave more than they had. Do you see that? It kind of, all these churches are coming together to meet this common need, that this is what the church is to be about. Not just the individual church, but collectively, the group of churches coming together to form a kingdom partnership in order to make a kingdom impact. And your church does that. Your church is a part of that. Together in the Gambrel Association, we have about 26 churches. And then we got about the same amount, 26 churches in the Gonzales Baptist Association. Together, 52 churches. We span 11 counties. We stretch 180 miles kind of north to south. And all these churches pulling in the same direction to make a kingdom impact. And I have the privilege to get to see it. And so here today, I get to let you in on some pretty cool things that I think that the Lord is doing. And that you, whether you realize it or not, just by being a part of this church and serving your church, you are helping to make this kind of kingdom impact right here in South Texas. And so what I want to do is, this is not all that we do, but I want to outline for you five things real quick. So that you get kind of a snapshot, so that when you hear Gambrel Baptist Association or you hear South Central Baptist area, you'll kind of know at least a little bit about what we're trying to do together. The first thing, and I call these initiatives, the first initiative that we're about is ministering to our ministers. I suspect you know this already, but to let you in on it, I've been a pastor and I've been in ministry for almost 25 years now, which blows my mind to think about. Next summer, it'll be officially 25 years that I've been in vocational ministry in the local church. And I will tell you, your ministers, they think about you all the time. They are praying for you. They're preparing lessons and sermons and worship songs. And they're preparing themselves to be good ministers to you. They're working on your behalf. When you see them at work a few times a week when y'all are all together, and all the minutes in between, it can become all-consuming. who's ministering to them. Now, I hope you're praying for them. They should be on. They should be near or at the top of your prayer list. I mean, your family first, right? But underneath that, you should have your ministry leaders here in the church really high up on your prayer list. And I hope you're praying for them. But as an association, we get to provide a level of care to your ministers that I think is a blessing. I've experienced it myself. It's actually what God used to bring me into ministry. When I was first at Kennedy, and I was there for about a decade, I just began to get to know the other ministers in the area. And we began to get together and just have lunch and pray. It was very informal. It was irregular. We didn't do it all the time. And then it began to get some shape and form to it. And then pretty soon we had a cohesive group and a good game plan. And we were meeting regularly. And we had an agenda. And we were spending time together, learning together, praying together, having fun together. And then we had a group of guys driving pretty far to that. So we started a group nearer to them in the Cal Allen area. And God used that to show me what the association could do. That if we work together, we could provide these kind of groups throughout the South Central Baptist area so that no minister has to drive more than 30 minutes to get to a group that will be a benefit to them. Somewhere where they are thought about, where they are prayed for, where they are cared for, where they are ministered to. And we went from one group meeting in Kennedy to now we have over 6 groups with plans for 7th and 8th later in the year. So we got groups for second chair leaders. I know Palmer's been to a few of those. We got a second chair leader group that meets at First Baptist Lavernia. We've got a group for ministry, for women in ministry. We've got a group on the northern end in the Gonzalez Association. And then Pastor Kevin is actually helping co-lead with me a group for church leaders, pastors who are wanting to lead revitalization in their local context. And so he's working on that. So we have all these groups, and we're starting more for the singular cause of we want to minister to our ministers, and we couldn't do that without your support. The second thing we want to do is part of that ministry is also sharpening. It's also, you know, helping ministers grow and develop. And so when I came on board, I knew part of our issue is a large contingent of ministers in our Gamble Association are bivocational, meaning they work 2 jobs. And often they're working a full-time secular job, if we can put it that way, and they're ministering to their church in some capacity as well. And we actually started a group for them that meets on Saturday mornings quarterly right down the road at First Baptist Nixon. But I knew that wasn't enough. We wanted to provide some training for them, so I thought, well, we'll start a podcast. And we'll put out some regular training for them that they can access on their way to work, on their way back, on their lunch hour, that kind of thing. And it really expanded to be something that I think benefits the ministers. And then we even talk a lot about we're talking increasingly more about things that would be a benefit to the church members. For example, your church is on the front end of forming and working and developing on looking for your next worship children's minister. And we've done several podcasts about what a ministry search committee does, what that looks like, compensation for your minister, all that kind of stuff. We've covered some of those grounds. I've done a podcast for deacons. We've done podcasts for children ministry leaders, worship ministry leaders, youth ministry leaders. We've done a lot on preaching. We've done a lot of these things because we want to provide some practical and helpful training to our ministers and to our church members. And so if that's something that interests you, if you want to learn more, if you use Spotify or iTunes podcast, you can just simply search SCBA Leadership Podcast. Or again, if you get a card on your way out, you'll find the web address, southcentralarea.net. And on the homepage, you'll see the podcast link, and you can actually listen to the podcast right from the website. Another thing I'm pretty excited about is we are going to change up our annual meeting. One, because most people don't come because it's a business meeting, and you've probably never been either. I don't blame you. If I didn't get paid to go, I wouldn't have gone either, just to be honest with you. But we're revamping that. It's actually going to be, I think, really worthwhile. And so we are going to make that annual meeting primarily for you as a church member. It's not going to be for the ministers. We're going to handle associational business. We'll make it quick. We'll get in and out. But we're going to worship together. We're going to hear God's word together. And then we're going to have breakouts for specific ministry areas of interest to you. Now, we don't know what they all are going to be yet because we're going to poll our ministers and get them to give us some feedback and let us know what would your church people like, some really high-quality local training that costs them nothing. What would be of interest? But I presume if you're working in children's ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, these are key ministries in the life of the church, that there's going to be some breakouts that will be of interest. So you're going to hear more about that. That's going to take place in October on a Saturday. And so that's just another way, and we're providing training not only for our ministers, but we're also trying to provide that same high-level local training for our church members. Now, the third thing, so the first thing is ministering to your ministers. The second thing is training for ministers and members. And the third thing is mission partnerships. You know, one of my favorite people in the world, Judy Childress, is a member of your church, and she is very involved in missions, as is your church as a whole, which is so cool to see. And Judy is actually our associational missions leader. And so she sits on what's called the missions committee, because you know we're Baptists. So I don't know if you know this about us, but we like committees, all right? And so even at an associational level, we got committees. We don't have a lot, praise the Lord, but the ones that we do a great job, and our missions committee does a great job. And listen to this. If your church is going on a mission trip, you can actually apply for funds to help support you on your trip. And so that's what the missions committee does. They're given a budget. And so if you fill out the form and send it to me, I'm sending it to Judy and our committee. They're going to evaluate it, review it, and come back and say, well, we can help with this much per person on this trip. And so that's one of the things that we do. Your church is actively involved in that with Judy being on that missions committee. But y'all are doing more. You're going on mission trips. You're involved in Camp Alto Frio just down the, well, I'd say just down the road. It's a bit of a trip, but if you've ever been there, it's beautiful. They do a great job. They're doing camps. Y'all are going this year. But something that your church does that you probably already know is you've gone in and revamped cabins there and helped some of those older facilities, bring them back to life, make them useful, make them beautiful, right? So those are things that you're doing. So when you're involved in mission work, you may be supporting a missionary. You may be planning a mission trip. As an association, we want to pray for you, and we also want to support you, and we also want to let others know that you're doing that, because there may be others you can take with you on those opportunities to serve and learn and grow together, because when you serve and learn and grow together, you do grow closer with one another, and mission trips is actually a pretty phenomenal way in which we can develop those kinds of relationships together. So those are some of the ways that we're trying to continue to create a mission partnership atmosphere within our association. The fourth thing that is something that may surprise you. I don't see a lot of associations making this kind of a central tenet of what they're about, but I want us to be known for encouragers, specifically to an under-ministered to group, which is the wives of our ministers. So we are working to develop a network for ministry wives. And just this past spring, we were able to put together a ministry wives appreciation dinner, and we got them some really good food. It was delicious. We had a great guest speaker. We had a great worship leader, all ministers' wives, by the way. They did a tremendous job. And I think we had, I'm trying to remember now, 24 to 26 ladies showed up to that and had a wonderful time. And we gave each of them a gift card. And we said, this is not for your kids. This is not for your husband. Don't you dare use this for ministry. This is for you. Use this. Go out and enjoy this. Is a gift. God wants to bless you. And we got to be the conduit. Now, that costs money to do that. We couldn't do that if your church didn't give to the association, enabling us to do things like that. And we intend to do more things like that so that ministry wives who can sometimes, you know, get forgotten. It's a challenging role to be in the life of the church, I will tell you. In a lot of ways, being married to a minister is harder than being a minister themselves. And my wife is at our home church at First Kennedy today, or she would be here amening that statement on the front row with us. But we want to say we see you, we care about you, we want to support you, we want to show you love. And so that's something that we get to do that you enable us to do. And the last thing is, and this speaks directly to your church, because as I said, your church is on the very front end of searching for new ministers to fill some really important roles in the life of your church. And there is a lack of ministers out there who are answering the call. And here's what I know, is that our ministers, myself, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Palmer, we're all called out of just normal local congregations like First Baptist Stockdale, my home church, Wortham, First Baptist Wortham, small little town, smaller than Stockdale. It's 1,000 people. So y'all got us beat, okay? Almost double the size of Wortham. And I grew up in that church, and I was called to ministry in that church. I was licensed to ministry in that church. And most churches are staffed by ministers who are coming from just normal-sized churches just like these. And so here's my contention is that if the church needs ministers, the ministers are there. We want to encourage people to be thinking, is God calling me? And when they answer the call, as an association, we want to stand by and say, well, how can we help? How can we help answer that call? What can we do? You know, and I was talking to Palmer before service today, and, you know, he got his start in at his church. Is it First Baptist Watauga? First Baptist Watauga. And for a short time, he actually served under Pastor Kevin. Many of you know that, in a kind of like an intern capacity. And see, what that church did is it said, we're going to encourage those in the pews to be thinking, am I called to vocational ministry? Every member is called to ministry. Every single one of you, God is calling to ministry. But some of you, God may be calling to step out and say, I'm going to devote an extraordinary amount of my time and attention and efforts to the ministry in the local church. And that may, compensation may follow that, maybe not, but you enter into that role of being a vocational minister. So as an association, here's what I'd love to see. I'd love to see two tracks, one for students and one for adults. So as you have, particularly those who are higher up in age level, like juniors and seniors in high school, who may be sensing a call to ministry, what would it look like for us to have a summer program where they can come for 6-8 weeks and get some training while they continue to serve in their local church? And if they do that over a couple summers, and now they're ready to get out there into college, and they are even better prepared. Not only do they have some knowledge and experience, but they made some connections with ministers in our area that can be helpful to them. A second idea is for those who may be second career. Maybe some of you may be feeling a call to ministry. And you may stay in your secular job, but you're going to, on top of that, you're going to minister. You're gonna fill a role in the life of either this church or another, and God's calling you to that. And could we have an evening or a weekend program where you can come and get some of that training over the course of a year or so? Where you're and there are associations doing exactly this, and they're seeing good results from it. And then there may be a church just down the road. You don't have to move. You don't have to change jobs, but there may be a position at a church somewhere nearby where you can go and begin to serve. And so I'm really excited about that possibility. We're not there yet. It's one of those where we've made the least amount of progress. And I was just talking to Palmer about this because one of the cool things that we did last year is Palmer actually organized a retreat in December for students who are leaders in their youth groups. Now, they may or may not be called to ministry, but they're leaders in their youth group, and he had a training for them. It was a weekend retraining at El Shaddai Encampment outside of Yorktown. And he took them, and it was phenomenal. I got to go. I got to participate. I got to hear. My kids, my older two kids went, and they had a tremendous time. I mean, they really, it was really a great time of growing and sharpening and making connections with others. And so I hope to make some progress in that in the coming days. Now, I want to go back to the text, and I want to point out something, because there are great results from when churches come together and say, we're going to form a kingdom partnership here in the hopes that God will use us to make a kingdom impact. And Paul himself saw what the results were and would be. And there's three that stand out in verse 12 through 15 in chapter 9. So just one chapter beyond what we just read. And listen to what he saw. He says, the service that you perform, that service, again, is the taking up the offering for the churches or for the church in Jerusalem. That's the service. The service you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people. Now, that's significant, right? When they take up that offering, mouths are going to be fed. That's no small thing. Now, and I think I didn't think about this in the earlier service. Let me point this out. Sometimes that mouth is you, like today. Today, your association is serving you because your pastor's on vacation. Praise the Lord. Glad you give him vacation time and support him in that. And so I get to come and fill that slot. I know you'd rather have Pastor Kevin, and no doubt about that. But I get to be used of God to serve you. That, what a wonderful thing. So the association is blessing you today. But next Sunday, you know, I'll be at the Grove Baptist Church in Orange Grove. And the next Sunday, I'll be at McMahon Baptist Church, way north of Highway 10. That's how far we stretch, right? So sometimes your church is directly served. Sometimes you're the one that is supporting the cause so that others get to be served. So he says, right now, church in Corinth, you are being used of God to supply the needs of the church in Jerusalem. But he goes on to say, it's not just about the supplying of needs. He also says that this is a result in an overflowing and many expressions of thanks to God. And then in verse 13, he says, others will praise God. So God gets glorified. God gets the glory. Whether it's the local church that God is using and great things are happening, God gets the glory. Whether it's the individual church or us collectively, God gets the glory. So God is glorified. God is praised when we operate together. And the last thing he says in verse 14, he says, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Hearts are brought together. Relationships are formed. Friendships are made. It's a little picture of what heaven's going to be like because you have all these Christians from all across the place in South Central Texas serving together, growing together. And so those affections can grow. Now, how does Paul motivate? He says, these are the results. What's the motivation? And the motivation is, in Paul's mind, is clear. The motivation for us to give sacrificially is that we have a Savior who gave sacrificially. That's our motivation. That's the good news, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that the Son of God gave his life for us. And so Paul saw that. That's the central motivation. In this case, he's talking about taking an offering to helping feed people who are in need. But anytime we give of ourselves to serve others, whether it's in the church or in the association or in your community, whenever you sacrificially give of yourself in order to serve another, you're being conformed into the image of Christ as we're called to be in Romans 8. So look at this. You say, where do we get this? It's my final thought for you, so hang in there. Verse 9, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Now, there's some mystery here I don't claim to understand at all. But Jesus was rich. He was co-creator with the Father and the Spirit. So he owns everything. But he also had an eternal, perfect relationship with the Father and Spirit from before time began. So he was rich beyond belief in every way imaginable. And so much of that he gave up to come into this world for us. Because we were poor. You may be wealthy financially, but every person that's born into this world is in poverty spiritually, because the only currency in the spiritual world that is worth anything is to have that relationship with God, and sin breaks that relationship. Sin is what puts us in debt. But what Paul is saying here is Jesus gave up all that wealth that you might have spiritual wealth. He became poor that you might become spiritually rich. And what he's saying here is that the most important and most valuable thing you can have is a relationship with God, your Creator. And Jesus has made that possible because he paid a debt he did not owe, ours. A debt that we could not pay. And so you can see when you know that, I don't know about you, but that motivates me. Like, if that's my God is one who came to serve and to sacrifice, and that's the results for me, then I want to do that for others. So that might be a question you just leave here thinking about, is how is God calling me to sacrificially give of myself in service to others? Or it might be for you today to ask the question, I am deep in debt and sin. What will I do? And the answer is, it's nothing you can do. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Christ has done. And if you will place your faith in Jesus, you will go from spiritual poverty to spiritual wealth. Without a relationship and no hope in the world, to being a son or daughter of the Father eternally. So we're going to enter into a time of invitation, a chance for us to respond. Whatever God is speaking to you, this is a chance for you to pray, to talk to God about it. Maybe get someone else in the room. I'll stand down front. I would love to pray for you. However the Lord leads, let's respond to him today. Would you pray with me?
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.